Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Look at this. How good is God, hey? These moments, His presence is glorious and He is here. And I really believe that tonight there's something that the Lord actually wants to deposit not only into your mind, but into your heart today. Ooh, that from one realm of glory into another realm as we step into His Word. So would you just posture your hands before me, before the Lord? And would you just posture them and just say, Lord, take me from one realm of glory to another. Lord, open our eyes, our ears to hear you tonight. Your word, sharper than a two-edged sword. Come, cut me open. Cut my heart. Make me more like you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. God, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your presence in this place today. I thank you, Lord, that just as you have asked us to do tonight, we have laid out our hands before you and said, Lord, from one realm of glory to another. We thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you want to do. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, high five the person next to you and let them know it's coming. It's coming. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, man. Jesus. Ooh, okay. I've never been drunk in the natural. I'm just saying, it could get a little bit weird in here tonight. But I've already prayed, now it's time to read the word. Let's go. John chapter 3, verses 1 through to 8. Start with me tonight. So there was a man of the Pharisees, his name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And this man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are the teacher and that you are from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him and said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? A second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I I'm not going to say it's old age, but I swear these words are moving on the page. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh. That which is born of the spirit is the spirit. Do not be marveled that I say to you, you must be born again, for the wind blows wherever it wishes. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you. Your word is a two-edged sword. Lord, come do it. Only you can do through it in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Ooh, okay. Here we go. Some of you will know that my story of salvation started from the age of 5. But for those who don't, I'm going to try my best to give you a very quick snapshot of it. When I was 5, I woke up from a dream in a dream. So in my dream, I was dreaming and I woke up from this dream. And from this dream, I woke to the sound of a trumpet. And that sound, was like a sense of urgency that was just like shouted as loud as I could hear. And it was one of those sounds that you wake up knowing that something needs to happen. And in my dream, I woke up with the sense of urgency to run outside. I ran outside, I got out to the back door, but the back door was jammed, played with it for a little while, eventually got out, and I found Jesus hovering in the clouds with my family. And as I ran towards him, I said, "Jesus, wait for me, wait for me, wait for me." And to that, he looked back at me and he said, "You're too late." I was like, "What do you mean I'm too late?" And he said, "You're too late." And in that moment, I looked at him with him looking at me, and there was this brokenness, this devastation that I was not ready for him, but he wanted me to be with him and with my family. And in that moment, I woke from my dream. I ran into my parents' bedroom, and in my parents' bedroom, I explained the dream to my mum, and my mum explained to me who Jesus was. And she invited me in that moment to say a salvation prayer right there on my knees next to her bed. And in that prayer moment, my heart opened up to who he was. I didn't know that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. I knew nothing. I'm 5. All I knew was Jesus was real. He loved me. He wanted me to be with him and ready because he loved me. And to that, there's a multitude of people being told the same thing. And in that moment, the revelation that hit my heart was that Jesus was real, I knew him, and I loved him, and would live for him from that moment on. But like many of you in this place tonight, we kind of grow up in the things of the Lord, and we start to have questions about who he is. And Nicodemus in this passage is a religious leader, and he is totally aware of who Jesus is in this moment, but cannot comprehend with his natural mind what is actually going on. Because he knows that he has to be from God because he does things that only someone from God could do. Yeah. So he understands that there is this natural attraction to who he is, but in the mind he cannot understand what Jesus is saying. And he comes to him and he says, "I know you must be from God, but I'm struggling to understand this." And Jesus says to him, "You're right. I am from God. But unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Right. I mean, you only got to look around the room and realize that each one of us came from a womb at some point in some time. And the natural mind cannot fathom how that could take place, that one would be born again. And so he asks this question. He's like, "What do you mean?" And Jesus says to him, "You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of the water, the natural, but born of the Spirit." See, every one of us is born with a spirit man. See, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 actually says this. It says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Body, soul, spirit. We are a tripart being. Like, we are made up of our natural body, our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we have a spirit man. Now, what Jesus is trying to paint the picture here for Nicodemus is that the spirit man has to be born again. Well, let me put it to you like this. I've got a couple of volunteers who are going to help me out. Kristen, Jeremiah, and Lucas. If you can just jump up for me, that'd be awesome. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of water and the natural, born of a spirit and the supernatural, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what we have here is a spirit man. When we go back to Genesis chapter 3, it says that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they ate of the fruit. Do you remember this? They ate of the fruit. And as they ate, oh my gosh, Lord, could I pick some more smoked people? As they were in the garden, the Lord said to them, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, knowledge, you will die. Did they die physically? No. Just doing a little bit of background here. Help me out. But when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, God withdrew himself from them after he dealt with their sin issue. Because sin entered the world at that moment, and God walked into the garden and he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? And it wasn't that he couldn't find Adam, it was about Adam trying to recognize that he was separated from God. Why? Because his spirit man had died. Join the evangelism team. You too can be an actor. Our spirit man is dead. Jesus. So stay with me. You are a tripart being. You have a body, hopefully it's a good looking one, and you have a soul. If you're unfortunate, just know you'll get a new one when you get to heaven. You have a spirit man and you have a body. And when we don't know Jesus, our spirit man is dead. So what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is literally, unless you are born again, you cannot be in the kingdom of God. This is a serious message, but let's just go with it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this, we are born again to a new and living hope through the resurrection. So when Jesus came, he lived on this earth as a man, died on this earth, rose again, he actually brings our spirit man to life. But catch this, I need you to hear this. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So when people give their life to Christ, at the end of his service, you're going to get an opportunity. If you don't know him and you think this is a crazy crack show, you probably might be right. But you'll have an opportunity to join the family later. It's great. But when Jesus rose again from the dead, he rose our spirit man to life when we believe in him and confess with our mouth. Now, this is where we get super excited, and I love it. I am an evangelist, I'm a lover of Jesus, I'm a lover of people coming to know him, but I know that this is actually not it. This is not it, in a nutshell. Because when the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Saved is not just about your spirit man coming to life. The Greek word saved in this passage is sozo. It literally means that you are saved in your spirit, man. You are absolutely and utterly delivered in your soul, man. And you are healed in your body. Jesus did not just come to save your spirit, man. That's what I'm here to tell you tonight, because you need to know the full gospel. The full gospel is that Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again so that you could come to life in Him and have life to the full, but not only in your spirit, man, but in your body and in your soul. And I know too many Christians that have got their ticket to heaven but have no freedom in their soul realm and have no healing in their body. And I'm here to tell you that God wants His church back. He wants the focus of salvation back. Salvation for the whole man. Salvation for the spirit man to come alive again. Salvation for the soul realm to be delivered and set free. And He wants healing for your body. You may be here tonight and you gave your life to Christ many years ago, but I'm telling you tonight, you're going to get saved. You are going to get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Oh, you've got to know. Even when Jesus was on this earth, He was not only invested in the spirit man coming to life. Walk through the Gospels and see what Jesus did. See, we are made up of so much more than just our spirit man. Our soul realm, our body has to come under submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know if you're going to... Okay. He did not just save you to get your ticket to heaven. He saved you for so much more. He saved you for so much more. Now, I need you to capture this with me tonight, because I'm going to ask a couple of volunteers to come and demonstrate this, because you need to be able to see this in the way it's seen in Scripture. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus, when He walked up to the demoniac in Mark chapter 5, walked up to him. He walked up to Jesus, actually, come running to Jesus. And Jesus, literally this demoniac, has run wild through the tombs. He's cutting himself. So listen, cutting's not new. Okay? It's been around for decades, centuries, millenniums. I got a great education. It's been around for so long, but yet we've put it into a whole new category of like all these other things of like, you know, anxiety and mental health and all these things. But do you know the Lord was well invested and well aware of that before we've come into it? See, the demoniac has a mental health issue that is causing him to run around in the tombs. He's possessed by a demon. He's running around through the tombs, cutting himself and hurting himself. And the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to set him free. Yeah. What good is his salvation if he's got no health on this life? He can be saved as a kid and be going to heaven and loving it, but actually still be tortured in his soul realm. Come on. So I'm going to ask a couple of people to come and join me on stage. You know who you are, because I don't. Dom, yes, awesome. Thank you. Come on up. Your mental realm is a part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Yep. Jesus came to set him free. Now, you remember the story of the blind man. He has a physical issue in his body. And Jesus says to him, I'm interested in bringing healing to this part of your life. What area in your mental health, what area in your physical health do you actually need help? Where you need to be healed, set free, whole, delivered. Huh. See, not only that, but Jesus actually deals with a man named Zacchaeus. He deals with a man named Zacchaeus. Bro. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Hears about Jesus coming. He's a tax collector. And literally, he goes up a tree, waits for Jesus, sees him from a distance, and Jesus comes to him and says, Zacchaeus, come down, I want to hang out with you. He calls down a tax collector, someone who should not be around a rabbi or a teacher or a religious leader, He grabs him and says, hey, I'm coming to your place. And then he says, salvation comes to your house. His response to that was literally to respond biblically to the, according to the Mosaic law, and lay down four times the amount. Not because four times is a cool number, but because it's actually a part of the Mosaic law. And he gives back to the people that he's taken from, and Jesus restores to him an area of his financial life. Jesus is interested in what goes on in your finances.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to deliver you from a spirit of poverty.
Yeah.
He wants to deliver you from living under this spirit of mammon that it would restrict and restrain and actually liberate you.
Yeah.
And then there's like, one of my favorites is Mary and Martha. Do you remember the moment that Lazarus dies? John chapter 11. Lazarus is dead. Mary and Martha have two different responses. One runs to Jesus and says, why weren't you here, Martha? Mary's waiting at home. Martha comes back and says, Jesus is here. He wants to see you. Mary runs out and they have this conversation. And literally it says that Jesus wept in that moment. Because he's invested in your emotional realm, your emotional part of your life. He's invested in it. And not only that, but there's the adulterous woman. Do you remember her story? She's brought before a bunch of religious leaders and they throw her before Jesus and say, hey, we should cast stones on her. And Jesus in that moment restores her emotionally by saying, he is out without sin, just cast the first stone. And he restores to her emotional health. Another woman like it is the woman with the issue of blood, who covers a number of issues and areas. The woman with the issue of blood presses through the crowd. She's not meant to be in a public setting. She's not meant to be anywhere near it. And relationally, she is isolated. She is on her own. Because she was never meant to come into a space where there was people. And yet she chases Jesus down, touches the hem of his garment. And literally in that moment, the Lord says, who touched me? Everyone else is thinking, you're crazy, Jesus. There's a bunch of people around him. But Jesus is an invested relational man who loves you, who loves his people, who loves his children, and actually wants to minister and heal and bring wholeness to relational area. So not only was she healed in her physical body, but she was healed in a relational area of her life that brought her back into a community that she was isolated from. And then you get Jesus, who walks into Lazarus' life after Mary and Martha have had a moment, and he says, I'm invested in the spiritual life and the physical life of this man, and I'm going to raise him to life. So much so that he actually leaves it longer than he needs to prove a point. Because he knew that it was for the glory and for the honor of God. Can I suggest to you that we have bought into a salvation that is one third of actually what God wants us to be? He didn't save you so that you could have your ticket to heaven. He saved you so that you could bring heaven to earth. See, all of this makes up the one person. And he not only wants to minister to you and bring health, healing, and wholeness for you to be saved, healed, and delivered. He actually wants you to be a vessel that he could flow through and bring this full gospel to the world that so desperately needs it. Oh, I'm telling you, if you would only get this, because there's many of you sitting in this room tonight, you have restless sleep. You can't sleep at night. Because you're tortured in your mental realm. There's many of you here who feel completely and utterly isolated by life and feel like you're on your own and you don't understand why I can't find connection. There are some of you here with broken marriages and the Lord actually wants to heal them. There are some of you here tonight and you are tortured in your mental health. Over and over and over and over again. And you just feel like you get a sense of victory and then all of a sudden there's another bout, another wave. We have things that help chemical imbalances, but can I suggest to you that there are some things that need to be delivered? There are some things that you actually need to be set free from. Oh. Okay. Jesus. My Bible says that many who came to him, when they laid the sick before him and they implored him to touch him or to get to the touch of the hem of his garment, he made them well. Yes. You know, that well word actually in the Greek is sozo. Yeah. Wow. Saved, forgiven, yeah. Healed, yeah. So and delivered. Yeah. He wants to heal the whole part of you. He doesn't want you just to have your ticket to heaven. He wants you to be one who would be healed whole. And a picture of health and wholeness. What then would be a conduit of health, healing and wholeness for others. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Did you know that as a child of God, you have access to the resources of heaven?
Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on.
Pull it down. I don't know any kid who goes home to the pantry and it's locked. I don't know any kid who goes to the fridge and it's locked. Now, don't get me wrong. There may be a few locked up items like the Mars bars hiding in the corn and peas in the freezer to hide from the kids, and there may be things that you have to ask for specialty moments. Sometimes there's moments we have to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I need deliverance in this area. Lord, I'm coming to you." And consume of that which is given to you, but then don't just be a consumer, but be a contributor by giving that to somebody else. So I went on a journey last year. It was a whole year of like focusing on this area of my health in my natural, where'd you go? Body. In my body. And I pressed in for healing. I pressed in and was like, "Lord, I'm not content for you just to give me salvation here in my spirit man. I want it in my natural man. I want to see it manifested in my body." I went after it. I was like, "Nah, I'm going after it. Every altar call, I'll be there. Every moment, I'll be there." And I went after it, and last year I went back to the hospital specialist. They told me I was healed, and I was like, "Thank you, Jesus." Yeah. God is so good. But do you know that the enemy still keeps trying to rob that from me? Just last week, I was in the car with Aaron driving. The hospital rings me back, and he's like, "Oh, we've been checking into your history, and you have a very serious have had a very serious anaphylactic reaction in the history of all these allergies and da-da-da-da-da. We don't actually believe that you're allergic to those things. We think there's something else going on in your body." And they're trying to rob me of that which I was healed from because they can't explain it, because what they say is blood work doesn't change. Wow. Well, mine did. So God is so good. He defies reality. Had a conversation today with somebody about, you know, can God heal a young man who's had a chew put into his stomach so that he can excrete the stuff that goes in here because something else is wrong? And I said, I responded with, "Well, look, Jesus raised people from the dead. I believe that he conquered death. He raised people from the dead. I don't doubt that he could do it." But like, what do you think that would take for that to happen? Would you have to take the bag out and like, and then, you know, pray and get healing? I said, "Well, that could be quite dangerous, but that thing could pop off and Jesus could do a supernatural healing." But do you know that sometimes there's going to be some times in your life where you might actually have to do something a little crazy? Give it up for these guys. Take a seat. Thank you. Sometimes there may be some moments in your life where you're going to have to do something just a little bit crazy to get your healing, to get your deliverance, to get your moment where heaven collides with earth in the natural. For some of you, that may be going an extra mile in prayer and fasting. For some of you, that might actually just be leaning into God more and more into his presence. For some of you, that may look like coming to church more regularly. Some of you, that may look like an intention. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do something intentional, but sometimes that might be crazy. Yeah. Let me put it to you like this. How'd you be if you're blind? And you walked up to Jesus and you said, he says, what do you want? You say, well, I would like to see. He says, all right. Go wash that off. Oh, okay. Jade, do we have one? Yeah? Will you find one? Sometimes you're going to have to do something that is a little bit wild.
Come on.
And a little bit crazy and do things that you've never done before. Because when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he said to the disciples, he said, preach the gospel, the full gospel. Oh, what does that look like? Heal the sick, body, raise the dead, spirit, cast out demons, delivered, emotional realm, soul realm. There is a picture through scripture of that which actually God wants to do through you. See, the miraculous is unlocked by someone who will press into heaven and go a little bit deeper and do something a little strange or a little weird. Been here a couple of years ago, we had a revival conference 18 months ago. Some guy literally just jumped up out of nowhere, sounded like a kettle, and ran around this room like a wild man. I can testify to you that man is not crazy. He is a man of God. He is doing incredible things for the kingdom of God. But he ran around and did something absolutely crazy in a moment where the glory of God hit him and he just did something wild. What's it going to look like for you this Christmas? Because after it says, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, which cleanse the lepers basically means deal with the sin component, which has been dealt with through Jesus on the cross. We're all good. But he literally says, freely you have received, freely give. Yeah. Want to give a gift that matters this Christmas?
Yeah. Come on. That's good. Come on.
Because every one of those areas that you might have recognized tonight, and even some of those that you haven't, he actually wants to use you to bring heaven to earth and be a wild one for him. For some of you, it's going to take something a little wild to do it. See, the miraculous is actually released through you and I. We bring heaven to earth. So it's not just meant for us to get to heaven, but it's meant for us to bring heaven to earth.
Come on. That's right. That's
right. So good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh. That hot feeling is so weird. Yeah. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness for the spirit man. Peace for the soul, man,
right.
And joy
so
for the body.
So good.
So good.
There's some actions that are going to have to take place tonight. Firstly, if you don't know Jesus, you can. You need to know that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. Because the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, Jesus Christ, is life. Eternal life. We have access to him by simply saying yes. And you're not just saying yes to your ticket to heaven, but you're saying yes to deliverance to your soul, healing to your body, forgiveness for your spirit man, to walk with him forevermore. In righteousness, in peace, and in joy.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.